part of that song said, still many there is that live in sin and doubt. And we're studying in our class in Ephesians, fourth chapter. We've been there for a while studying that. And it says, the last heading for the last few verses that we're studying, we're just about to get done with the chapter, but it says learning to live differently. So they're teaching, Paul's teaching those individuals a new way of life. And that's kind of where my lesson's going this morning. As we're kind of concerned about our attendance at our worship services, and I think most people have a tendency to skip worship if something else is more important. And I just feel like we're very blessed to be worshiping in a small congregation and to be here at Pleasant Hill and to be introduced to the truth. I think we have the truth from the Bible like God wants us to have it. But I think part of the problem that I see anyway is we don't have the friendships in the church like we used to. We have several gatherings away from the church. I think that's truly when you make friends with individuals. If I wasn't in somebody else's house on Sunday, they was in my house eating Sunday lunch, that's where you get to know people. You can't come here and spend a short period of time and really get to know that individual like you would like to. But I feel like we need to understand why we accept Christ and for sure why we're being baptized. We need to spend our life with our friends, and I think that's what we do. So if we don't have friends at church, naturally we're going to spend more time with those friends away from church. So this morning I want to try to make us feel confident that being in a small group of Christians for prayer and ministry to each other would be one of the best things that we could do for our soul and for the good of those around us and for the glory of Christ. Like I say, many of us feel this already, but I feel like sometimes maybe we're losing that feeling that we should be very fortunate to be worshiping God as we are here at Pleasant Hill in a smaller congregation. If we were worshiping in a congregation of 500 to 1,000, how different would that be? Would you know everybody there? Would you try to know everybody there? Would you know when somebody's missing? Would you know when they were sick? Would you know when some individuals needed help? Would you feel a closeness to your Bible study as you're studying the Bible? It's something that I feel like a lot of people tell you and me, they read their Bible. They know God is love. They know about the Bible. We spent at least 30 minutes back there on two verses. When we read the Bible, I don't think we get to full understanding. And the other thing, how do we know we're right on our decision on that verse or that set of verses? I think in a class setting, we can feel everybody has their say and we can be encouraged that hopefully we come out with the right understanding. But let's say, start by saying that many of young individuals in their Bible teaching have the idea that God's commands have the effect of making us unhappy. What a bad and false idea. But I think about this this is the thinking of the world. That's what they think. The Bible teaches us that we do things that's not fun, it's not interesting. That was my thinking when I was in the world and before I accepted Christ, was the Bible had too many rules. And I knew I couldn't do a lot of things in my life. My life had to change. And that's what the Bible teaches us, that our life has to change. Our life is dedicated to Christ and God. Just a couple of scriptures to prove God's love for us. It says, Matthew 6:25-34, there's a whole set of verses there, but in Matthew there it says, "Therefore, don't worry about any of these earthly things. Instead, seek to know God better. God provides us abundantly, and we need to understand that. He gives to us continually. He blesses our life like no other person could. God wants every believer to remain in His presence and have a personal relationship with Him, just like we would any other close friend. The rewards of seeking God are awesome, and not only will we develop a closer relationship with Him, but we will develop a closer relationship like we do with our other friends. We will truly find joy and contentment when we start getting closer to God and putting God more in our life. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will fill me with joy in your presence." In other words, joy is found in God's presence. Therefore, we need to evaluate our life to make sure that we are seeking God's presence. Most of my lesson this morning from here will be in Hebrews 10:19-25. You had to read it. Can't read without my glasses, sorry. This is headed, titled, "Living by Faith." "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, by exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching." Verse 24 and 25 there says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." I think that's what we need to find here at the church, as God wants us to share in love and a closeness that we can work together. Also, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see that day approaching. Notice four things here, verse 24 and 25. God calls us to encourage one another. God's plan for our good is that much of our encouragement comes from our Christian friends and from speaking the Word of God into our lives and praying for us. I think at difficult times to know that you have such sincere Christians praying for you and for that situation has to be a tremendous reward and help for us. Second, God's purpose is that this mutual encouragement functions to stir us up in love and good works. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. So the aim is mutual encouragement. Is not just good for the members or this group here that meets in small congregation, but also for the world. I think Christian people give and give and give to situations when they know there's a need. So the good not only stays in this congregation, it goes out into the world. And that is good for us because Jesus said in Acts 20 and 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, to remember I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, more blessed to give than to receive. Third, we gather together to do this encouraging and this stirring up to love, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some. This meeting together is not merely just when we meet on Sunday morning, but we have many times that we meet together, like I say, even when individuals invite us to their home to share in fellowship. And I feel like when we have our social once a month is a time that we can have that enjoyment. Not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some is, but encouraging one another. I think we need to let our schedule be altered if we know that God, loving God, requires it. How can we know God better? Read His Word. Pray, worship Him. Notice that all these things require time. In fact, improving any relationship with other people or with God requires time. But I feel far too many people find themselves too busy to spend any time getting closer to God and knowing Him better. They filled their calendar with pursuits of money, wealth, success, fun things. However, as Solomon discovered in Ecclesiastes, all of these pursuits are meaningless. Solomon comes to the realization that all of these things are worth nothing in the perspective of eternity. Yet when I survey all that my hands have done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. I think it's so easy to just forget that our true reward is eternal. We have to wait till the end of our life, of this life, to receive that eternal home. Hopefully it will be in heaven. And we must give the Lord our service and our time until that judgment day. I think of it as the pension that I worked for 30 years. I've told many people that I worked for the individual that I worked for because I wanted that pension. It was a good pension, and it's still a good pension. And that's the way it is with a Christian. We can't even fathom what eternal life with God and in heaven is going to be like. but we have to wait for it, so I think we lose some of our sincereness. Fourth, notice that this kind of gathering in smaller groups to encourage each other is increasingly urgent as the end of time draws near. Verse 25, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:1, in the last days there will come times of difficulty, times of stress, tremendous pressure, hardships, and darkness and evil. Who do we usually want to be around or closest to when tragedy strikes or something happens in this life that's hard to handle? We want to be around the people we know who will help us through it. And I think that's when we need to realize we need God. It will not get easier to be a Christian, and God is telling us what we need to do to hold fast to that confession. We need to meet, and we need to encourage one another, and we need to stir each other up. A Lone Ranger Christian trying to go it alone will not survive in those last days. God's will is truly greater joy. So in summary, God's commandments are always good for us. His purpose for us, even in troubles and sorrows, is joy in Him. God's ways are the ways of the greatest joy. One of His commandments is that the elders equip the members to do the work of the ministry to each other, and they meet in smaller groups to encourage each other and stir each other up to love and good works. This is God's good plan, and not to be part of such a small ministering group is somewhat self-defeating, and that is not God's will for our life. His will is our greater joy, and that comes from the benefits of mutual ministry in smaller settings. Can we even imagine what it would be like to be worshiping with a gathering of 500 to 1,000 people in that gathering? I think I mentioned once before that we was attending Ozark, Missouri congregation, and it let out and we come by a monstrous church, and they had people out there directing traffic out of the parking lot. To me, I don't know what it would be like to worship there. I'm sure them people were content that they were doing the right thing. But I don't think that's what the Bible teaches us. So we need to think about the joy of worshiping with a smaller group of worshiping Christians. And God loves His church, and all of His commandments are for our good and for our joy. God's will for His church is that the elders oversee the care of the flock. In order for us to do that, we need to have your cooperation too, and help us in this situation. His will for His church is that members be equipped to minister to each other in these small groups. And His will is that tremendous blessings flow through the saints, to the saints, and to the world because we do not neglect this ministry. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Final remarks in closing before the invitation is, we attended a very nice wedding Friday evening everything was set beautiful, everything went wonderfully, as far as I know. And these two young individuals committed to themselves as well as to God. So this marriage is starting out in a wonderful and proper way that marriages should. As I get older and I go to weddings, I listen to those vows that these young individuals say. These two individuals wrote their own vows that they made to each other, and a lot of young people do that nowadays. But I thought, and I think, these are very serious and they mean very much. How they love and are committed to one another. These vows are made in the presence of God and witnessed by those in attendance. And I think about that. And sometimes we see these marriages dissolved. But I feel like it's a lot better chance of that marriage surviving when, like these two individuals, have God in their life to start out. These vows are forever to be kept by these two individuals. What about when we are baptized and confess Jesus Christ and promise our life to Him? We promise to be faithful and serve Him all the days of our life. At least that's what I believe. And I believe that's what the Bible teaches. But many things change in our life, and many things become difficult. And usually that's when life might go wrong, if we don't have a sincere belief and trust in Jesus Christ and all those of like precious faith. So we need to think about our confession to Jesus Christ and how lucky we are to be in a smaller congregation and to know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and what He has in store for us. This morning, if there is anyone here who has not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, has not confessed Jesus Christ as the Son of God, you have that opportunity to come forward and be baptized as we stand and sing.